Well, we'd better ask the Lord's help again, you know. Just constantly want to remind ourselves that this isn't just any old book, it's God's word. He went to a lot of trouble to get the people that he got to write it, to make sure they wrote what he wanted. We need the Holy Spirit's help to get what he wants to tell us through it, eh? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. It's yours. You've given it to us, Lord. Our life's instructions, Lord. Showing us how you are, the way you work, and the things that can go wrong, and the way to put things right. We bless you, Lord, for your truth to us. And I ask your blessings as we share this time together now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're just going to conclude. It's quite a shortish bit. In chapter 4, from verse 43, it's the second sign that Jesus performs. And again, just to remind you, the word sign, when John means it, is it's pointing to something. That's what a sign does. It's pointing to something about the Lord himself. It's showing us something of his character and the way he is. Yeah? So, verse 43, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. And when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been in Galilee there, or been in Jerusalem there. So, we're on the journey, that's the point. And Jesus had been in Jerusalem. They'd seen the miracles there. Then he travels from Jerusalem, remember last week, through Samaria, the shorter route. He's on his way up north, and this explains why he's going up north. It says, after 2 days he left for Galilee. After 2 days where? In Samaria. He stayed there with the people there. And it says, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet had no honour in his own country. So that's the reason he's going back to Galilee. Sounds strange, doesn't it? What does he mean? Well, we'll think about what it means to have a prophet. But basically, it's saying this. This is the best explanation I've come across. Basically, Jesus is going back to where it's cooler. Yeah? In Jerusalem, it was getting pretty hot. The Pharisees were getting a bit uptight. Everybody was getting a bit, you know, twitchy about this Messiah turning up. And so Jesus goes back up north, where they are not quite so bothered. Right? The prophet has no welcome, really, in his own place. They don't think much of him. So, it's basically what Jesus is doing is he's in control of time. He's working out when it's time for him to go to Jerusalem to die is when he decides, not when them in Jerusalem decide. Yeah, so, he's moving up now to Galilee, and he'll be spending quite a long time in Galilee. John doesn't deal with all of it. He just tells us he's gone, yes? But he tells us that Jesus has gone up to Galilee. He's ministering and teaching his disciples there, in order to get them ready for when he goes back to Jerusalem on that final journey. Yeah? So that's why. So, next question is, and I've not seen any commentaries make any comment about this one, so you've got to enlighten me, yeah? And it's this. Why does Jesus says, he knows that, how's he phrase it? That a prophet has no honour in his own country.
Because they know you.
No respect. Why not?
Because they know you.
They
know you.
They think they know you.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's what the term is, familiarity breeds contempt.
They think
they know who Jesus is. In fact, they say this, we know who he is, we know his dad, we know his mother. Well, they got that wrong for a start, right? We know his brothers and sisters. Well, they knew them, yeah. So they think they got Jesus in their nice little box, and so they don't take him quite so seriously. That's part of it, I guess, yeah. So it's a bit quieter at the moment. It will get steamed up, of course, because you can't sit on the fence with Jesus. That's the way it is. Yeah, you have to decide some way or another. Yeah. So Jesus goes up there, and we're told that what happens is that he arrived in Galilee, and the Galileans welcomed him. Well, there's welcomes and welcomes. Did they welcome him as the Messiah?
No.
Right. Why did they welcome him then?
Joseph's
sons come back, yes, but there's an explanation, the next verse. They'd seen all he'd done in Jerusalem,
yeah.
Right? So, why are they welcoming him back?
Uh-huh.
It's the entertainers come to town! Mm-hmm. Hey? They think he'll show us a few more tricks, you know? That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. They welcome him back because they want to see him do stuff, right? Not because of who he is or what he's teaching,
but they've seen some miraculous things. And so people go out for entertainment, don't they? Yeah, still do, you know.
Perhaps they finished the wine.
They'd finished the wine. Yeah, that's a possibility. The wine had run out by now. Yeah, that's possible, yes. So, anyway, that's what he says. So, they'd seen everything that Jesus had done at the Passover feast. They'd been there. So, the reason for they'd been there is that it was one of those annual feasts where you had to, the men guys, had to go up to Jerusalem to worship there three times a year.
When you think it says he suffered in every way that we did, but it didn't sin, that really, you know, it's really those two bits are very sort of sad and...
They nodded.
Whatever, they, you know, for him, aren't they?
Yeah, they assumed a lot about him that was completely untrue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, people misunderstand believers all the time.
Yeah,
it's
very
as well,
sad.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so, right. So, once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Yeah, well, must have run out of wine by now then.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, and while he's there, Cana isn't too far from where he was based anyway, so that's not very far, yeah. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. Now, a royal official is an official who's in the pay, the service of a king. You don't know which king it is?
Herod.
It's a Herod. Herod the Tetrarch, yeah. And he's one of the sons of Herod the Great. Yeah. So, Herod's up there, and he's a royal official. Assume he's a Jew, because he's joined together with the rest of them in a moment. But, yeah, so he's a royal official, top-ranking chap, and interestingly enough, what's his problem?
His son.
His son, yeah. This is a really human story, you know. Yeah. You can be as high ranking as they come, you're still human. Mm. Yeah? And human things affect you. Yeah? And here he is, all his power, all his position, doesn't stop his son getting ill. Yeah? And he's concerned about him. I find that rather touching as well. He said his son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Now, there are several instances in the Bible where Jesus heals young people, and this is another one of them. It must be a parent's nightmare. The worst nightmare a parent can have is to see your kid just about to die and you can't do a thing to help him. You know, I said this about the young girl that we read out in one of the other Gospels. Yeah? Here he is, he sees his child suffering and there's nothing he can do. I mean, he obviously been praying, I suppose, and the answer to his prayer was he went to Jesus, but he didn't know that at the time, of course. But he lives in Capernaum and news has spread. Now, the distance between Capernaum and Cana, where Jesus was, is about 12 miles over hilly country. It's all hilly country up north. Yeah. So that's the distance he had to come to travel to come to Jesus. He went out of his way. Would you go out of your way if you meant you could do something for someone you love? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he's doing. Yeah. So here's this, well, royal official, but I'd say poor old dad. That's what it's about, isn't it, really? He comes to Jesus, and he says he went to him and begged him. How about that? That tells you something about how desperate he is. Yeah. It was true of the synagogue ruler, as you read in the other Gospels, yeah? When someone begs, they're not worried about what other people think about them. Yeah? They are desperate and couldn't care less what everybody else says. Look at him, he's put himself down. Royal official, he calls himself, and there he is, begging. Well, when you're desperate, begging's a good thing to do, isn't it, eh?
And so he must have recognised to a degree who Jesus was.
He's heard about the miracles. I suspect that's what he is. He knows this is a miracle worker. Although, of course, he believes, just like the rest of them, that Jesus did miracles. He's not there yet as to understanding who this miracle worker is. The Messiah, God's Son. Yeah, he's going to get there, right? But he's like the rest of them. He's come, well, they come to see action and performances in that sense. So he knows Jesus can do something, and that's all he's worried about, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
He'd get somebody to help his son, doesn't matter, but he's come to Jesus.
He would have come, he's a royal official, would he have come from being inside to the outside, you know, from being close to that. So who would it have been? Is it King
Herod? Yeah. Well, they'd have their sort of courtier duties and things like that. Yeah, well, but I mean, he's left all that.
Bound up in that.
Yeah, well, he's
outside.
Got a day off or something, or maybe more. But anyway, he's concerned about his boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, that's human, and it's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So his son was close to death, and then Jesus says this: unless you people, this includes the royal official, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. Yeah, and he's addressing the man, but it's the crowd as well, basically saying all you've come for is to see signs and all this miracle stuff. Yeah. Does miracles convince people?
No.
What are you saying?
It gets their attention, but there's something else has to change inside them in order to believe, you know?
The Israelites went through the Nile, but it didn't make any difference.
Red Sea.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
But it didn't make any difference.
No. They can remember the fireworks and the whiz bangs and all of that stuff. But see, so there's an important lesson, you know? Right? I believe in miracles. Did you know that? I believe that God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, because God's sovereign, right? But I'm quite convinced that miracles won't change people's lives unless the miracle is God changing their hearts.
Yeah.
Right? Which he can do very well as well, of course. Yeah. But if people come to see stuff, see performance, then they're coming with the wrong motives. But do you know, it's true as well. God saved people who've come to church for the wrong motives. Did you know that? Lots of people turn up to join, go along with church for all sorts of reasons. I know people who've gone to church because they want to get their kid into the local school. Mm. And the school wants you to have some sort of connection with some religion, you know. So it looks good on your CV sort of thing, yeah. That's one good reason for going to church, isn't it? No. But if God's got them there, he might get them saved. Is that lovely? Yeah. He does that sort of thing. So you've got the idea. So these people just want to see things happening. Yes?
Can you explain, because this verse seems to say, you will never believe in him unless you see miracles.
Yeah, but they won't believe in him. That's the point.
Is he sort of telling him off?
He is telling him off. Yeah, it's a rebuke, yes. Yeah. You'll never believe unless you see miracles, but the miracles won't make any difference. That's the point. Yeah? Do you think they'll believe when they see miracles?
No. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
The verse seems to be saying the opposite.
Well, Jesus is being what I would describe as
being provocative.
Well, yes.
He had the insight. He was saying he was saying what he knew.
Yes, he does. Well, he knows how their hearts are.
It's the
truth. He's being provocative in the sense he's telling them off.
It's like the ten lepers. I mean,
right.
Two of them came back to say thank you.
One came back. Did you remember that?
You've got the message.
You've got the idea. Right, love. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, so, unless you people see miraculous signs of wonders, Jesus told them, you'll never believe. Well, I can tell you they'll never believe if they saw it anyway. Right? Yeah, but that is challenging them in that sense, right? The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Right, so he's that desperate, he's ignored what Jesus said in that sense. Yeah. Please come down before my child dies. Now then, he's got two assumptions there. The two assumptions are, if Jesus doesn't get there before the child dies, too late. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's got a limitation on what Jesus can do in his mind. Unless he's there before the child dies, it'll be too late. And the other assumption is, Jesus, if you aren't there, then nothing's going to happen. You've got to come down. You've got to be in the house, touch him, or do something like that. Wave your hands over him or something, yeah? You've got to be there, and you've got to be there before he dies. Those are the two assumptions that the man has. Yeah? So, Jesus is going to challenge those. And what he does...
Well, Jesus is doing an even bigger miracle.
Exactly. Exactly.
They believe that he can do miracles, but they didn't know he could do it at a distance.
Ah, well, that's part of the sign thing. But the thing about the sign here is none of the people there saw it. Only the man who went back home saw that there'd been a miracle, but the man who went back home had to believe the bare word of Jesus. That's where faith comes in. Yeah.
Believing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, well, let's see how it goes again. So, right, see? Jesus replied, "You may go. Your son will live." Right? Now, it actually doesn't say your son will live. Have you got some translations? Your son lives. Yeah, present tense. Yeah, he means at this moment, he's sorted. Your son lives. Not he will live. Your son lives now. I fixed him. Yeah? That's what Jesus meant. He used the present tense. Yeah? Your son is living. Right? He's fixed. Yeah? And you may go. That's good, isn't it? Yes? Now then, this is the best verse in the whole little chapter section here. What happens then? It says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took Jesus at his word. Why did he do that?
He believed.
Believed. He believed. Yeah. But what was it about Jesus that made him believe then?
The authority.
Well, there's something about Jesus that inspires faith, isn't there? You know, the way he said it, the way he looked at him, whatever it was, the words he said as well, whatever it was, communicated to this man's soul in his inner being. This guy's done it. It's true. Yeah? I believe him. So, just remember this is the verse for today. Yeah? Your verse for today is, he took Jesus at his word.
Amen.
Right? And so he left. Well, what did you think the people thought? Well, those that had come to see the signs and the wonders, it
didn't really matter what he
earned. It doesn't matter what they thought.
Jesus said to him, you will never believe, yeah. And he decided, yeah. I will believe.
Yes.
That's all
yeah.
That mattered, really.
And as a result, see what happens, it says, while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. Right? Same phrase. His boy, they turned up to him, in the original, it says this, they came to him and they said, your boy lives. Exactly the same words Jesus used. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? He's living. Yeah. They came back to it. So the servants had met him on the way. Now, there's something about the timing on this. Let's just ask this one, first of all. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. At the seventh hour. Right. So, we're back to this Roman or Jewish time. What's the seventh hour?
7 o'clock
in the morning, or
7 o'clock at night.
7 o'clock at night.
But if he was travelling home,
right,
I would say this one was morning.
No, because no, they said the fever left him yesterday at 7 o'clock at night. Yeah, yeah? Remember that the logistics is this: it's evening time now; it's virtually dark. Because the sun sets pretty sharp in the Middle East, you know. Right? So it's virtually dark by the time Jesus says he's okay. So he goes off, right? But he's got 12 miles to go over territory that doesn't have lights, yeah? And could be a bit dodgy, right? What's he going to do?
Stay overnight.
Stay overnight, right? And set off as fast as he can. And by the time he's set off, his servants in the morning have set off in the opposite direction, and they meet him before he gets home, and they tell him it was yesterday evening that your boy got well. Yeah? You got that? That's the logistics. Right? See, it says there, I'll just find it for you again. The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. It left him yesterday evening, is what they say. Right? So, he has got, probably had a pretty short sleep as well, I should think, but you can only travel when it's light, so he gets up when it's light, sets off, and the servants, they've set off when it's light and meet him up. Why did the servants set off? Tell him the good news. What does that tell you about him, like it being a boss? He's a good boss. Yeah. they like him. Yeah, they obviously want him to be pleased with the good news, so they want to get it to him as quickly as possible. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? We've got good news. Let's get it as quickly as possible. I know it's not easy with some people, but you try, don't you? Yeah. So, they meet him, he asks them, when did he get better? And they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. How about that? He put two and two together and got the right answer. Yeah. How do they know what time it is? This is a question that always puzzles me. They didn't have clocks, did they? Oh, you didn't carry a sundial around with you, did you, or something like that? They had some idea of time. They must have done. Right? So that's you can tell by the sun. If you're used to where the sun is during the day, you can tell what time it is. Yeah, you've got a good idea.
I know when it's midday in my front because the sun is coming directly into
There you are, you see. You're using your garden as a sundial. And people do that, don't they? Yeah. Okay, so they knew what time it was. It was 7 o'clock when he got well. And he says, that's the time when Jesus said, your son lives. Right? And as a result, what's the effect?
Oh, absolutely.
He says,
so he and all his household believed. Isn't that amazing, eh? So he believes, right? So he's come from a spectator to a believer. Yeah? It's great, isn't it? Yeah? All because of what Jesus said. He took Jesus at his word and found out that Jesus kept his word. It's amazing, yeah? Oh, but it doesn't stop with him. It says he believed. And?
His household.
What's his household? Do you know? What were households in those days? Well, you see, the problem for nowadays is a household is parents and 2.4 children and the dog.
Yeah,
it would be servants and all.
Servants, yes. He's a royal official.
Extended family,
yes, that's what it's about.
And the animals.
We don't include the animals in the saving bit, though. But yeah.
That he would have shared the story with them.
He shared the story with them. He told them what Jesus did. And they saw it with their own eyes, but it wasn't the miracle in one sense that did it. It was his account of what Jesus had done in doing the miracle that convinced them, just like it convinced him.
Well, it would have been the change in him, wouldn't it?
Yes.
He was an example.
He's a different man as a result of what he'd encountered with Jesus. That's fantastic, isn't it? That's what it's about. So, we conclude.
That would have been an easy road for them after that, though, would it? With all that going on.
Well, it's never an easy road for a believer.
No, I know,
but
that's what I mean. But in those times, I mean.
Yeah. But,
potted up quite as much, haven't you?
Yes, but I think it's in Acts 13. I could be wrong about this, Jill, but there's a whole group in the church there who were praying.
Yeah.
And it says, I think it's, yes, here you are.
Yeah.
It says, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So this guy had been pretty close to the king, well, they call him the king, but what better the term is, yeah? But he's one of the top believers in the church in Antioch. So, you know, you can go on with the Lord in difficult circumstances.
All right.
We know that, though, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there you go. Hey, wasn't that good? Acts 13, I did well there, didn't I? That's a miracle. Believe me, that was a miracle, yeah? Right. Okay, so, see, all in his family and his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed. It's the second sign that, well, he'd done more miraculous signs than this, hadn't he? He'd been in Jerusalem, he'd done loads of them. What does he mean this is the second miraculous sign
this
that Jesus
is the
performed?
Recorded.
It's the second one he's put down, yes, that's the point. He's picked this one for a very special reason, yes? Right? It's the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. So, right, he'd done the one in Canaan, he did this one for this boy. What's the sign? It's a sign. What does it mean? We know it's a miracle, but what's it mean? What's the sign? What's the pointing to?
God.
Jesus being the Messiah, and the two assumptions of the chap. Remember? If he's not there, right, the child's going to die. And if he doesn't get there before the child dies, it's too late. Right? Those two things, the sign tells us. Jesus can do things in distance.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be on the spot. He can do things from a distance. His word carries authority over the hill. Yeah? That's one. And the other is, death isn't the end. Yeah?
Because the centurion believed that, didn't he? He actually went...
Well, we'll see that centurion. He says, you just tell him. Because you're the one with authority around here, yeah? Yes. Well, that's good, yeah. Well, this guy got it as well. Right? Jesus is the Messiah. He's God's son. That's what John wants us to know, yeah?
was also Lazarus, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
So he spoke into that one.
Oh, yes. We've got to wait until chapter 11 for that.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Don't worry. Good to anticipate, isn't it? Yeah. Right,
we
so...
We all know our Bibles. Well, that's lovely. Well, I really do, anyway. Yes.
With a few additions here and there.
With a few, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all learners, my love. We've all got L plates. Do you know that, though, didn't you?
We've always had L.
Yes, yes. So let's just thank the Lord, for his amazing power. Lord, thank you. You are able to touch people's lives at the request of someone who's miles and miles away. Lord, what an encouragement that is for us, Lord, as we pray for our friends, missionary friends, people that we've been told about, Lord, that are nowhere near to us. Lord, we can ask you to bless them. And Lord, you're able to do amazing things. Lord, we know, Lord, we're always in your hands. You have the last word in all things. But we bless you, Lord, that these signs tell us, Lord, that you are the Lord of space and time, the Lord over life and death, the ruler in every way. Lord, thank you for your compassion for this man. Thank you, Lord, that this fellow human being, a broken man, a man needing help, desperate about his son. Lord, you didn't turn away, but you opened up your heart and your blessing and your power to touch his life and his family. Lord, we're going to meet them. We're going to see them in glory, Lord, because they're part of the family of believers now. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing and what you're doing even now in people's lives. Lord, continue to glorify your name. May we believe. Lord, take you at your word and see you do amazing things. We ask you, blessed Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Amen.